Amen. But we all got to be very careful that we don't allow things to become idols in our life. We joke all the time, but there are serious consequences that when we make something the final focal point, the final thing of reference, the God of our life, what is it? What's going to dictate to us? Amen. Well, we want God and His Word, and we spoke about that. If you begin to make decisions contrary to God's Word, you put an idol in your life.
Hallelujah.
And so we're going to pray right now, and we're going to ask God to remove those idols, but also to illuminate our understanding and to refresh us through His Word. So, Father, we lift up Pastor John as he brings forth your word today. We pray, Lord, that you bring down the idols in our life. Lord, even as Dagon was knocked down when the Ark of the Covenant came into that temple, we pray that you would knock down those idols in our life. And, Lord, that only Christ would be enthroned as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, Father, we pray for this word. We pray that you bring it forth. And, Lord, more importantly, that we hear it, that we receive it, but we act upon it. We give you thanks, we give you praise, we give you glory, in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, last week, if you were here, you remember, we saw that God has called us to enter the battlefield with boldness. He wants us to be a bold people. It's something He's designed us, it's the way He made us to be. He wants us to be courageous and confident, fearless, strong. There's a definition I found about boldness, and I love it. It's taken from a Greek dictionary, and it says that boldness is an attitude of strong confidence in God, such that godly things are said and done openly without any fear of consequence. That's boldness, to do whatever we know God wants us to do, and not worry about what's going to happen afterwards. Just let it all work out according to God's plan. To be bold, there has to be an inner strength. And this strength has nothing to do with our muscles or our physical training or how long we've been a Christian or our size or anything like that. This strength has everything to do with our ability to understand what God has made available to us. What God has made available to us and how He's given us the ability to work through Him. And so what we have to do is we have to trust God's strength inside of us. We have to understand that. We have to believe it and then walk in it. So we saw over the last few weeks, we saw how bold and how brave and strong David and Joshua were. We saw how ordinary people, when the apostles were doing things and others in the Bible, we saw ordinary people against all the odds going out and being successful in what they did. And their strength came from God. They became mighty men and mighty women of God because they trusted in God inside of them. They were willing to be used by God in whatever battle, whatever opportunity, whatever work God had already laid out for them. Those men and women were created by God to do those very works, to fulfill God's plans and God's purposes. And God's got plans for you too. He does. The scripture that, I love this scripture, and I use it all the time and I think about it a lot, it's in Ephesians 2:10. And it says that we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So you see, He's got plans for us. He's got work for us to do, and He created us to accomplish these things. In Hebrews 12:1, it tells us to run with perseverance the race that's been marked out for us. God has already made this course and marked it all out for us for our life. Now it's up to us whether we're going to run on the course or not. And this is a course, a road, whatever you want to call it, that leads to blessing, to victory, to growth, to success, to fulfillment. When God designs a course for you, when He designs works for you to do and things for you to do and places to be, He's got it set up for tremendous results. Good things. Good things. Always. there's a scripture that says, consider Jesus. That's actually in the same Hebrews chapter 12. Consider Jesus who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. See, sometimes we're on that course. We come up against struggles, don't we? We all do. And those struggles are designed to build us and strengthen us. They're designed to make us into that person that God created us to be. Everything that God does is all part of His plan. All the things that we're going through, God is working out all these things to the good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So now He said, what the Word is telling us is to consider Jesus who walked out His course. He ran His race. He persevered. And even though He had way worse things to go through than we ever will, it says that He did not grow weary and lose heart. So He's an example for us. God's got a plan for each one of us. And within that plan, He has provision, and He has it already prearranged for victory. God doesn't, plan on you being destroyed or defeated. That's not His goal. His goal is for victory. He's designed into you the predetermined ability to be able to do every job that He ever, calls you to do. If He has called you to do something, He's going to give you everything you need. He would not call you unless you were the one that was made for that job. So every job that He calls us to do, we have already been designed beforehand to be able to do that. When they design a car, they don't design it to drive on the bottom of the ocean floor. They design it to drive on a road. It's made for that. They design a plane. They don't design a plane to drive on the streets. They design it to fly in the air. Well, when He designed us, He designed us for these certain works, but that we were created in Christ Jesus to do works that were prepared in advance for us. And it's all part of our original equipment package from our manufacturer. OEM, right, they call it? And there's a lifetime warranty that goes with it, too. At no cost. So this ability or that ability is there because, and this is how it works, there's a direct link. You know how in our computers we have links? And God has given us a direct link or an open pathway to Him, to His strength. So that it enables us to do whatever we need to do at any given time. It's an unlimited source of strength. All we have to do is plug into it. Our biggest problem is that we sell ourselves short. We don't think we have that ability. We think we don't have the strength to do the job that God has called us to do. And many of us have this inner desire to do things for God. We want to do things for God. We want to do good things. We want to be a blessing to other people. We want to do what's right. But often we're afraid to step out. We're afraid that maybe we're not going to be able to pull it off. We think we got to have it all together. That we got to be perfect. That we have to be sinless. That we have to be trained. That we have to be prepared. But the main thing is that God is looking for a willing vessel. Who can I send? Who can I send? Send me, Lord. Send me. But God is not worried about He's not worried about our weakness. In fact, it's almost exactly the opposite. Being able to recognize our weaknesses are exactly what God is looking for in a willing vessel. That's why Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:10 that he delights in his weaknesses. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For God's power is able to come in when we admit our weakness. It's not until we recognize our weakness that we go to that link. It's not until we want to buy something that we go into a store. It's not until we're hungry that we go get food. It's not until we're sick that we get medicine. When we recognize our weakness, we go to God. And then when we go to God, we have this unlimited source of strength. When we don't go to God, we're working in our own strength. And it's not there. Doesn't matter how strong we are compared to God's strength, it's not there. We think we're not strong enough to push back the kingdom of darkness and advance the kingdom of God. Well, of course, we aren't strong enough in ourselves, but God working through us is. When God is working in us, we are literally able to stop, to block the kingdom of darkness, and actually to push it back, to deal death blows. We are an army of one when we, you know, well, it's not really one because God's with us, but I'm talking about what we see in the physical. We become like an army of one with God in us. And we don't need a whole army behind us. I mean, it's good that we're, you know, we're working together because, you know, one can do 1,000, two can do 10,000. I mean, I'm not in any way stop or talking against unity, because unity is what God wants. But I'm just trying to say that when we're out there and we're alone, as far as God is concerned, when we're allowing Him to work through us, we're like an army. We don't always need everybody by us to do what God wants us to do. When we're out there in that situation and God opens up that door of opportunity, He says, send in the army. Who's the army? You are. You and God. You and God. You're the army. And that army is so powerful, in fact, that any earthly power or even any demonic power can be demolished. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have power to demolish strongholds. See, we have that power within us when we trust in God within us. When we trust in God's strength, God's power, then that power can be unleashed. And imagine when a whole church is praying, the power that goes out from this size group right here. When we are united with one voice, God said, remember, and when they were building the Tower of Babel, He said, when they're like that united, there's nothing they can't do. Unity is an amazing thing. So when we come together as a church, boy, we can blow the gates off the kingdom of hell. So we have these powers, this ability that God has given us, and He's given us weapons, and He says that are not the weapons of the world. And, you know, sometimes we don't think of them as weapons, but prayer. Prayer is a weapon. The Word of God, that one we've talked about, the sword of God, the sword of the Spirit, that's a weapon. Did you? Love is a weapon. Love can conquer so many things. That love can be a weapon. Sometimes it's serving other people. When we're out there in the world and we see somebody that God wants us to minister to, we serve them. We meet their need, that need at that point, and that becomes like a weapon to break down their defenses. We have a weapon when we fight with the light, and we overcome the darkness with the light of God's truth. By bringing God's truth into any situation, whatever situation, by standing firm in the truth when we're tempted, when we're going through a tough time, by standing firm, that's like a weapon for us. It's a strength for us that will help us to stop what the devil wants to do against us. And by exposing the lies of the devil, the schemes of the devil, that's a weapon. That's a spiritual weapon. By speaking truth, speaking God's word into a situation, bringing that light there, stopping him. That's strength. There's power there. When the words that we can say as they are anointed by the Holy Spirit and they come forth from God's word, when those words can come and stop a demonic plan, destroy a foothold, the devil will try to use every scheme, every trick. He will try to deceive. He'll try to distract. He'll try to masquerade. He'll try to tempt. He'll try to rob, kill, destroy, frighten, bully. I mean, he tries everything he can do to stop us from recognizing and using the power that's in us. You name it. He'll try it because he wants to knock us off that course. God put us on this course. He put us on this path. And the devil says, I got to get them off there, man. They're going and they're doing things and they're accomplishing stuff. And I don't care if they follow me. I just want to get them off the path. I want to distract them. I want to take them out for a while. So he'll lure you and tempt you and scheme and plot and do all those kind of things to try to knock you off course. He tries to make us think that he's the boss, that this is his world, but it's not his world. He's the prince of darkness. He works through the world system, but the earth, according to Psalm 24:1, is the Lord's and everything in it. Did that change? Not that I know of. I don't think God's word changes. So the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Satan doesn't own the world. He has a lot of influence in the world system, which is often called the world. We talk about it, the world, it's crazy right now. We don't mean the earth, we mean the world system. Satan will try to make us think that the church is failing, that the church is falling, that the church is losing ground, that the church is falling to other things. Like you read in the news and different papers and that, if you think that, you'd think that Islam is going to overtake Christianity any day. It's not. Matthew 16:18 says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Remember what Joshua told the Israelites when he called them together and he said, I'm very old. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. And he called all the Israelite tribes together. He wanted to give them one last fiery message because he knew he was on the way out, but he was still their leader. He was still strong. And he was one of the most successful, one of the strongest leaders that there have been in history. And he said, out of his own experience, in Joshua 23:14, you know with all your heart and soul that not one of the Lord's good promises, the promises the Lord your God gave you, has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. As for me and my house, it's down farther, but he goes into a little bit later, and he makes that statement then, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So he's trying to get them to understand that this God that we've been serving has never failed us. This God, when we follow him, will bring us through anything and everything. Look at my life, is what he's saying. God has used me to destroy Jericho and all these kingdoms and all these powers with our band of people. We've gone out there and we've taken over all these lands. And how did we do it? Because of God in him. The strength of God that was in him. He's trying to make them understand that just like he was successful, they can be successful if they follow the way. That's why he said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. What he was saying was, and you and your house better serve the Lord too. If you want to continue to be successful, to be blessed. God sees the big picture. We don't always see the big picture. We just have to follow him, trust him, and do our part. We can never believe the devil's lies that what we do doesn't matter, that we're losing the battle, that our efforts don't mean anything, because they do. Every single thing that we do, everything that we do for God, everything that we do for God's love, it all matters. The battle has already been won. It's the devil. He's the one that still doesn't get it. He's the one that's already lost and as good as done for. When Jesus defeated death and sin on the cross, and through the resurrection, he destroyed any chance that evil could ever have to win. It was done. It was over. It was finished. That's what Jesus said. It is finished. My job here is finished. I came to destroy the works of the devil. Death and sin are done. Death, where is your victory? Where is your sting? So we have to now be bold and confident so that we can walk in this power, this strength that God has made available to us. Hebrews 12:1 tells us that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who have gone before us. All these people of faith that were described in Hebrews chapter 11 and countless others, thousands, millions, hundreds of millions, whatever it is, they've all finished this race before us. There's many, many, many people who have gone on ahead of us and are now enjoying an eternity with God. They've entered into that glorious eternity, that place where we want to go. And they trusted not in their own strength, but in God's strength, in God's power. Just like them, we've been given everything we need to fight the good fight and to win. We've been given what we need to be a part of that great cloud of witnesses. If you persevere and you've given your heart to the Lord, you are going to be counted among that great cloud of witnesses one day. God wants to release His power in you, through you, in ways you might never have even imagined. I love the scripture in Ephesians 3:2, another one of my favorites. It tells us that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. So there it is again. God's power at work in us. And this power is able to accomplish more than we could ever imagine. So much more that we can't even measure it. Immeasurably more. We can't measure the power of God. We can't measure what we could do if we let the power of God flow through us. God's power and His strength is unlimited. And that power is the power that's at work in us. It's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. That same power is now residing in you. That's why Philippians 4:13 tells us that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives me strength. Colossians 1:11 says, being strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. That's us. Being strengthened with all power. Ephesians 1:9 tells us about God's incomparably great power for us who believe. There are many scriptures that talk about this power that God wants to be working inside of us. God knows us inside and out. He created us. He knows every hair or lack of hair on our head. He knows every weakness. He knows every frailty. He knows every temptation and every failure, everything we have ever gone through. He knows all of our weaknesses. He knows exactly who you are, what you've done, what you're capable of, and He loves you like crazy. And He wants to work through you. He wants you to be walking in this boldness and in this power. And He says, don't worry about what you've done. Forget about those things. Don't look at the past, but press on and go forward to the mark of your high calling. God wants us to get hold of the fact that His strength is more powerful than any issue that we're dealing with. Any weakness or frailty that we have. Mark 9:23 tells us that everything is possible for him who believes. God believes in you. God believes in you. He is willing to trust you with these plans and these works and these opportunities that he's going to bring. And he's trusting that we'll come through for him. We can't let him down. We want to go forward. We want to go beyond what we've done. It's our turn now to trust in God. He trusts in us. Now we have to trust in Him. I remember back in 1989, I was called to be, told I was going to be the pastor of this church. And I had a great job as a firefighter, and, you know, I really, it was a little frightening to think about leaving the safety of a job with a pension and health insurance and all that kind of stuff and taking on a job as a pastor. And I honestly didn't know if I was cut out for that, for, you know, for the long haul. And then God began to do this work in my heart. And I was talking to this other minister by the name of Howard Morgan. And I was telling him about how I was sort of struggling with this thing. I knew it was coming. I didn't know for sure when, but I knew it was coming. And it was a little nerve-wracking knowing that it could be any time and I just didn't know when. And that I would have to quit my job eventually. So I was worried about how I would be able to do it. Would I be able to do it? Would I be able to last for the long haul? So Howard asked me a question. He asked me if I trusted God. And I said, well, sure I trust God. He said, are you sure? You sure you trust God? And I said, yeah, I'm sure I trust God. Then he said to me, then you need to trust God in you. You think he can't work in you? You think he can't do what he wants to in you? You think he can't help you when you need him? You need to trust God in you. That's what he told me. I had to. And that was 28 years ago. Have you ever noticed how easy it is to believe in God for other people, but not for yourself? Oh, God, I'm going to pray for you. I really believe God's going to do this. I'm going to pray for you. Let's pray for that person. Let's pray for that church. Let's pray for those people. This is one of the great deceptions of the devil. We think that we have faith because we believe that God can work in everybody's life in all sorts of situations, but when it comes to the hard decisions in our own life, we have a hard time then stepping out in faith. For some reason, maybe we think we don't deserve it. Maybe we think everybody else deserves an answer to their prayers, but no, we know ourselves. And we know we're really not that good. Maybe we really know we're not that deserving or whatever it is. For some reason, we can believe for others way easier. I remember one of my aunts one time, my Aunt Eleanor, she was telling me, she prayed for people all the time. She's the sweetest little lady, little midget. She was about 4'11 or something like that, you know. And I loved her. She was my favorite aunt. And she was a real woman of God. She prayed for everyone all the time. And she told me a story about how one time she was in the bathtub and she had found a big lump on her. And she said, I wanted to pray for myself, but I just felt like I couldn't. And I just kept putting it off and putting it off until one day God rebuked her. God rebuked her and told, don't you think I love you as much as I love those other people? Don't you think I could work in you like I can work in those other people? And she finally was broken to the point where she prayed for herself and the lump went away within a couple days. It was a miracle. It was a miracle. And she's still alive today. This was about 35 years ago. She never even got treated. They said it was cancer, but she didn't get any treatment at all. If Satan can give everybody to have faith for everybody else, but not for themselves, then none of us really have faith. If we don't have faith for ourselves to go out and do something, then we don't really have faith. It's one of those kind of things that's always out there somewhere, but never here for me. Everybody thought somebody should do it, but nobody did it because everybody else was. You know, remember that, if you've ever read that thing? I don't remember how it goes. That's so God is calling us to trust in Him. To put our trust in Him working inside of us so that we can step out then in boldness. That's why he gives us his Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 tells us that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us. And Acts 2:39 says the promise, talking about the Holy Spirit and his power, is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Has he called you? God's called us. God's called us. That's us he's talking about. God has called us. And Philippians 1:6 tells us that God wants you to be confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. And this work in you is he's building a powerhouse in you. He's trying to strengthen and empower you and give you a courage and a confidence and a boldness to be a mighty agent for good, a mighty warrior, a power for change and for good. God's strength has no limits. There's nothing that's beyond his reach, including you or me. Can you trust God enough? Can you trust him enough to be bold? Can you trust him enough to be a world changer? Because that's what we've been called to be. Can we trust him enough to be a light in the darkness, a voice in the wilderness? Sometimes in our areas where we're at, it's like a wilderness. And he needs somebody to be that voice in the wilderness, to be a doer and not just a hearer. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. And I thought about that. Power, love, and self-control, all three are designed to help us go forth with boldness. Power, love, and self-control. No fear. Fear is what holds us back. Power emboldens us. Love emboldens us. It's a great motivator. And self-control emboldens us because we take charge of this self. God is in us. His strength is in us. And he wants to change the world in us and through us for the better. He wants to use us to destroy the works of the kingdom of the devil, and advance the kingdom of God and bring honor and glory to his name. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are a God who loves us beyond anything that we can imagine. We thank you that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit and that you have put within us a link, an ability, and access, whatever we want to call it, you have made available to us your strength, your power. Lord, you've now called us to step out and use that power. Use that strength in boldness. Lord, we need to trust you. Lord, help us to trust your strength in us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. I think we got coffee and donuts upstairs. So, hey, thanks for coming out. God bless you. Have a great week. Amen.